What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Stella Rae Herself podcast. I hope everyone is having a great first week of October. Really feeling the fall vibes today with my leaves candle from Bath & Body Works. Also, if you're watching the video of this, I just recorded a Get Ready With Me answering questions with kind of my new makeup look as of the past couple months. So hopefully that will be up ASAP. Something that's been on my mind recently is imposter syndrome, because I feel like this is something that I have dealt with a lot and that I know a lot of women deal with and a lot of creative people in general. Imposter syndrome is basically when you feel that you aren't really whatever it is you want to be, or you're not good enough at it, or there's no way you could actually achieve this goal because you don't have this credential, or you're not this, or you're not that. It's almost the belief that you don't really deserve to be there. And I think it's really sad how much people and society discourage kids from, you know, becoming their true selves, and how a lot of people just grow up, you know, with this shame just reinforced again and again. Like, you're not good enough. Like, this is what you need to be good at. Like, if you're interested in this, it's not enough. Like, you need to focus on something better. And I think it's actually so interesting. I read this article once, this study, where I can't remember if it was women specifically or just a certain generation of people, like men and women. But the study was basically about how people were starting families so much later in life and starting relationships later in life because it has been so drilled into our minds that school comes first and our careers come first. And so we're not really given a lot of room to focus on relationships and like our inner worlds. It's just always like achieving the next best thing. And in a lot of ways that makes sense because, you know, if your parents or your grandparents grew up struggling, it's like they don't want you to struggle. So that's how they think, like, okay, it's like, okay, work hard, get a good degree, get a good job so that you don't have to go through what I went through. But it's like there needs to be a balance, you know? I also think that imposter syndrome comes from perfectionism and the fear of failure. And the fear of failure comes from, you know, the belief that you're not good enough and that you need to achieve a certain level of success or attain or have a certain amount of perfection in order to be valid. And so I know for myself, and I've talked about perfectionism before and how, you know, it wasn't even until probably last year that I really knew what a perfectionist was. And it's so crazy because literally my thinking of what a perfectionist was literally just completely showed that I was a perfectionist. Like, I used to think, oh, I'm not a perfectionist because, like, I would think of the girls in school with really nice handwriting who would always have, like, the most aesthetic, neat, like, posters, or like, I don't know, would just be so like, oh, organized. And it's like, I just didn't see myself that way. So I was like, I'm not a perfectionist. But then I realized, like, oh, because I think I'm not good enough, therefore I'm a perfectionist. Like, it's in your mindset, you know? It's not really about like what you actually do or produce, you know? And again, I think especially as a woman, insecurity is drilled into us from such a young age, you know? We're always taught, whether directly or subliminally, that we're not good enough and that we need to work hard to be accepted and to be validated. And this is true for anyone, but I think especially women, you know, since we have such specific and high standards of beauty. Just look at how parents treat sons versus daughters often, you know? It's like, oh, my son is like, well, he's carrying out the family legacy and the family name, and like, he's an angel and I'm gonna baby him till he's 84 years old, take care of him and cut his food up for him. But my daughter, you know, she's okay. The girls have to do chores, but my son doesn't. And it's just so interesting, I think, especially when when dating or even just talking to men, and you just kind of realize all of these guys think that they're like literally God's gift to earth. Like, every guy, obviously there's exceptions, but in general, so many men have this vibe that they think they're so special. And like, have you ever heard a man say something along the lines of like, I know that I was like born for greatness, or like destined to, you know, change the world or make an impact? It's like, and often they, it's like they, I don't know what they're thinking. But it's like, it seems like they don't realize, like, it's like, you don't really care about helping humanity. You just think you're, like, that influential and, like, great and special. And it's because society, and therefore people's parents and, like, teachers, growing up, it's like, oh my god, yeah, you're, like, the best thing. And then, like, you have all of these amazing girls and women walking around just thinking, just, like, so insecure. Like, we're doubting ourselves every step of the way. And again, obviously, there's exceptions on both sides, whatever, whatever, whatever. Obviously, there's a lot of insecure men. Because this is the thing, too, I think, with that, like, because these boys are told, like, oh my god, they're so amazing. It's like, once they start discovering themselves and maybe finding themselves going through puberty, like, oh, I have different interests. Like, I'm not, you know, the stereotypical, like, alpha male. I'm not like, oh, I'm your son that's gonna play football and be, like, you know, whatever. It's like, then they get insecure because they can't hold on to what has been kind of pushed on to them. And then, like, I'm thinking of in The Sopranos when Carmela wants Tony, she wants him to get a vasectomy, and he's, like, just horrified that she would even suggest that. He's like, that's my manhood, like. And then his son comes in and, like, just looks like a complete dweeb, no offense. And then he drops the leftovers on the ground, and Tony's like, this is my son, like, this is who's gonna pass on the family name. And then, like, this boy has all these mental health issues and is, like, fucked up in the head. Honestly, I don't know if this is, like, healthy advice, but sometimes you just have to look at, like, how dumb some successful people are, and some of the opinions of, like, very quote-unquote successful or popular men specifically. And I think it's very easy with social media because people just expose how dumb they are all the time. Like, you don't even have to, like, try. And then you just kind of realize, like, wait, like, this person is this delusional that they think they're the best thing ever. And then they have this, like, horrible, uneducated opinion about something. Drake's album came out, was it today? I only listened to it once, kind of at the gym. We're staying on track, but just side note, I miss 2015 so much for such a variety of reasons, but I think one of the things that made 2015 great is Drake wasn't cringy or corny to me yet. Like, back then it was like, oh yeah, like, Drake's like a bitch. Like, he'll cry in a song. You know, it was like, oh, Marvin's Room is, like, what makes Drake corny. But now it's like, with every album, he's just more and more whiny and, like, misogynistic. Why is every song like, oh, I know we talked 5 years ago, but don't get married. Oh my god, this girl has a BBL and I bought her this and she's so ungrateful. It's just very old to me, and just, like, I don't really want to listen to that because I just feel like it's been done. And I don't necessarily think Drake's, like, the best example of this, because I do think, you know, I like a lot of Drake's music and I think there's a reason that he's so successful. I think he can relate to a lot of different audiences. Like, that's why he's so mainstream, because so many different people can listen to him and enjoy his music. So that's not necessarily the best example. But you just have to remind yourself how unfair it is that there's so many guys walking around thinking they're the best thing ever. They're not scared to try. And then, you know, they're going to try and do something not even that great and then, like, still be successful at it in some way. So the point of that is, so much of it is in your mind. And it's like, okay, obviously we already knew that. Like, oh, anxiety is just in your mind. Just smile. But I think it is very helpful, because often when you have anxious thoughts about something, or, like, just these very self doubtful thoughts, like, oh, I'm not gonna succeed at this, I'm gonna fail, it's gonna be embarrassing, everyone's gonna make fun of me, it's like, you kind of just have to catch yourself and be like, hey, like, I'm just having anxiety about trying something new or putting myself out there or getting out of my comfort zone. That's what this is about. These thoughts are not reality, they're not actually predicting, and even if some of these things do happen, it's not gonna be the end of the world, and at least I tried. And it truly is better to try and fail or not do it 100%, or, you know, oh, it wasn't completely perfect, than to do nothing at all. And I was just talking about this in my Get Ready With Me, but just moving to New York, for me, I think, not that that was necessarily imposter syndrome, but now I feel like my life is so much more messy and, like, I don't know. just like mishaps and like I feel pissed off a lot of the time. But then I'm like, I don't want to go back. Like, yeah, my life in LA was a lot more peaceful, but at the same time, it was very boring. And I feel like I wasn't having a lot of new experiences. And that's like on me. Like, I'm not, that's just, this was like a mental thing. I just spent a lot of time alone. I was very comfortable in my everyday routine. I didn't really switch things up a lot. So the point of that being, sometimes things need to be a little messy, but they'll be more interesting and they'll be, your life will be more rich and you'll learn more lessons. Obviously, sometimes that's like the worst thing. How many more lessons do I need to learn? But that's what makes life interesting, and that's what makes art, and that's what makes stories. And yeah, it's just so much better to have a story and to fail at something or whatever. And all of this is so much easier said than done, especially when you have years of, you know, shame or just beliefs, internalized beliefs that you're not good enough or that you don't deserve success or happiness or whatever it is that you may desire. Just try. And this is like a message to myself too, because I'm scared to put myself out there, bro. It's like, ugh, it's uncomfortable, it's horrible, it's like awkward, it's like, ew, this is so cringy. But sometimes you just need to take that risk and take that leap and just remind yourself of all the, no offense, dummies out there that did something and achieved it just because they didn't have that fear.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For that anxiety, you know, it's kind of like, that's unfair. So something else I wanted to talk about, because I keep seeing, well, I've seen like two tweets about homie hopping. Let me actually show you what I saw today. Okay. Because I have some thoughts about this, girlies. Okay. Let me just save you some time. Oh, the tweet that went viral is, bro code is not real. You can run through a friend group like a Tomb Raider if you want to. And then, like, you have all these people being like, oh my god, yeah, I did that. Like, bros swear they're so loyal to each other, and then, like, they'll let you hit. The thing is, unless you really don't care, which I doubt that people do. Like, okay, it's one thing if you're just on some, like, innocent vibes. Like, say you were dating this person, and then, like, you and the friend really hit it off. And it's not like you were doing this out of, like, revenge towards the original guy or like to get your lick back or whatever. Like, that's kind of different because it's a little more innocent. Like, yeah, it can be awkward, but you know, there's been times where that works out. Probably. Oh, I met my husband because I actually was talking to his friend first. I don't know. But this whole thing of like, oh, he did something to me, so I'm gonna like fuck with his friend. At the end of the day, they're just gonna both look at you like you're stupid. And just because a guy, like, lets you hit, that doesn't mean anything. He doesn't respect you. Like, guys will hook up with anything. Anybody and anything, most of the time. It's not like you got a one-up on the original guy. Darn, my camera died. I'm so sorry. I knew that was gonna happen when I filmed to get ready with me before this, and then I didn't charge the battery. Especially if the original guy did something fucked up to you where you feel like you need a lick back, where you feel like you need revenge, he already doesn't respect you or care about you. And that's just like, I'm putting you on. Like, any guy that takes you serious, like serious, his friends are not even going to try. They're not gonna watch your story. They're not gonna like your photos. They're not gonna, like, if they talk to you, it's going to be very brief. It's going to be very cordial, like, hi, like, just friendly, like, not like friendly, but like, you know, just respectful. So if you're talking to a guy and his friends are already hitting you up, it's like, you already know that guy doesn't take you serious, because his friends see him talking to other girls, hooking up with other girls. They're going out together, having guy time, and they're like, oh, well, she's just another hoe. Like, no offense. You're not proving anything to anybody by hooking up with a guy's friends and like, oh, I'm getting away with it. It's like, you getting away with it and no one caring or getting mad literally just proves that they don't respect you or care about you. So stop, like, exposing yourselves, tweeting, like, quote tweeting this tweet. Like, yeah, I did that. I hooked up with a guy, and then it ended, and I hooked up with 8 of his friends. It's like, they're literally just, either they don't care at all, or they're just gonna talk about how, like, oh, yeah, like, she let all of us hit. That's so funny. Like, what a hoe. Like, because that's how guys think. So just keep that in your mind, and, like, literally getting revenge like that, I think, is so dumb, because it literally just makes you look dumb. If it's genuinely going to make you feel better to, like, fuck a guy's friend after you break up or something, it's like, keep it to yourself. Because that's, like, that's embarrassing. And I'm not, like, judging anyone, because it's like, you think you're doing something, like, you really believe. And maybe your friends are hyping you up, like, oh my god, yeah, like, hook up with this friend. But it's like, it's not the same with guys, like. And again, if he really cared about you, his friend wouldn't even, like, come near you. So you're just proving the point more that he didn't care. So it's like, don't put yourself in that predicament, you know? I really think the best revenge is, as Miss Shear 7 would say, leveling up and not caring. Because if you show that you care, it's like, oh my god, I hurt this girl so bad. She's gonna, like, publicly be, you know, a hoe. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, that's what the guy would think. It's like, oh, I really got her. Like, wow, she really cared about me. You're literally boosting his ego. I don't know. Everyone's different, I guess. You know, you can't really say. But, I mean, you kind of can. You know, like, any guy that really fucked with you, that's not even gonna happen as a possibility. Like, no one's gonna allow that. Best revenge, I swear to God, is to keep it classy and to move on and level up and focus all of that on yourself. Again, if it's really going to make you feel better to do something like that, keep it to yourself, keep it on the down low. I think it would be a million times better to hook up with someone that maybe he looked up to, someone that has more money than him, that's more successful than him. Like, a friend is, like, that's too on the same level. Like, again, they're just gonna make fun of you. You're not gonna feel better by yourself after that. Like, if you really want to do that, do it with someone where you're gonna be like, okay, like, at least I'm leveling up. And then keep it to yourself. Like, if you want to hurt a guy, you have to just not care and focus on yourself and, like, look prettier. Seriously, watch some Shira 7, y'all. But yeah, I was just kind of astounded at how many girls are, like, quote tweeting this, because it's like, Shira 7 has helped a lot, you know? It's like, the things that women do, but you're really just coming across as, like, kind of, like, desperate. So it just all comes down to caring about yourself the most and putting that energy into yourself. Let me know your thoughts. Maybe you had an experience that proves differently. I would love to hear. But I swear, like, all of that petty revenge shit, it's like, it's not gonna make you feel better in the long term. You know what's gonna make you feel better is, like, going on a nice trip somewhere, getting your heartbreak off your mind, something like that, you know? Also, last thing I wanted to talk about, I know the episodes have been short, y'all, but life has been a little crazy. I finished this book called Happy Hour. I will link it down below, or I will just link my Goodreads down below. But it was good, y'all. Like, there were parts that I really liked. It was not, like, so, so good, but it was just, like, a kind of cute, chic read. And it was very relatable. It was very relatable to me and my sister's experience moving to New York. Something I really liked about it is that it had this kind of chic tone, and it was set, I think it's set in 2013. It was written in 2021. But it's modern, but it's not cringy. So, like, she'll reference them having phones and stuff, but it's not in that annoying tone where you're like, okay, like, I don't, like, it's not chic, because you're like, she pressed on her Instagram app on her iPhone. It's like, okay, like, you just ruined the book for me. So if you're looking for just, like, a quaint read, it was not necessarily gripping or thrilling, but it was, like, it was cute and quaint, and there was parts of it I really liked. Yeah, I would recommend it. So let me know what you've been reading. Next I'm gonna start my Year of Rest and Relaxation, which is another book based in New York. I was not going out of my way to look for books based in New York, but here we are. Get your library cards, y'all. Great fall winter activity to do. And that's going to be it. So thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow the IG Stellaray Podcast, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, everyone.